On Thursday, September 19th, we again tried to get to the bottom of all this controversy in Hartford regarding a grocery store foods slash prepared foods slash restaurant tax with State Rep. Republican Chris Davis from Ellington. Also, I weighed in on a really strange new feature from Amazon's Alexa. This one has got problems written all over it.
He might not agree with you, but he promises to listen. Join Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli on WICC 600, 203-333-9422.
And thank you for talking to us and calling us and listening and chiming in. We do appreciate it. We are here, Connecticut Today, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 right here, WICC 600. Of course, online, wherever you are, worldwide at WICC600.com. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Joining us right now is State Rep. Chris Davis, Ellington Republican, who's been with us on the show before, and hopefully he can give us some sort of guidance as they say regarding this prepared foods tax, meals tax, what we might be paying more on or not. Chris, Paul here again in Bridgeport. How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing?
Good, Chris.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, great to have you back, man. And looking over the transcripts and talking to folks up there, I was told last night, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Chris, that in the committee hearings here, and you're the ranking member on finance, I think, bonding and revenue, that you brought up the fact that, correct me if I'm wrong or not, having the words grocery store in this whole tax bill that we seem now to be confused over, you kind of thought that would be a problem, correct?
Yes, yeah. We during the debate on the floor of the House, discussion was had that these would be now put on to grocery stores. So, mm-hmm. There was discussion at the time that this was an expansion of the tax, and actually there was even a bill that came through Finance, not the actual budget bill, but a different bill dealing with municipal revenue sources that included similar language. Ultimately, that language was taken out of the bill. And the bill was passed, without that language in it, but yeah. It was something that was ultimately included in the revenue package by the legislative Democrats and then included in the ultimate budget that was signed by the governor.
So explain this here, Chris, if you can, because I know there's a lot of confusion here. So one aspect of this was a 1% increase on the prepared meals in a restaurant, correct? That would go from 6.35 to 7.35. Is that correct? There's no argument on that, is there?
So what was proposed and ultimately passed was to stuff that already has a sales tax, 6.35%, mm-hmm. so like a restaurant meal.
Sure.
The words were eating establishment.
Yeah.
And that was established a long time ago. Actually, 2002, there was even rulings about, the eating establishments within the grocery store. So if I went to Big Y and got a pizza and ate it there in their food court, that would be taxed.
Okay.
What ended up happening, however, was this legislation, this language in the state budget, went further. It added the word or grocery store. And what that has now done is required DRS, Department of Revenue Services, to then say, well, now it's the entire store. It's not just the eating establishment mm-hmm. within that store. So now if you buy an item that could be perceived as a prepared meal, in the store, whether you are going to eat it right then or not, under what the guidance given by the Department of Revenue Services, now those items are to be taxed. So that's why you see a tremendous outroar here, because now it's just regular everyday grocery items that people are purchasing that now are going to have not only the sales tax now implemented on it, but also this additional 1% tax to make it 7.35.
So again, so Chris, you're saying that a lot of these items I'm reading, a bag of potato chips, a meal substitute bar, those get a sales tax that was never on them before, correct? And the 1% on top of it?
Well, some of those items did have it on there. You might have had a bag of potato chips or soda that might have been taxed, depending on how you purchased it,
okay.
And what size of that purchase was. But now you're going to have that 1% added to it as well, because if you buy another item, for instance, a bag of potato chips and a soda. Now, instead of each of them independently being taxed at 6.35%, now if you bought them together, they theoretically could be taxed at 7.35% because you might eat it as a meal, even if you had other items in your cart and didn't intend to eat those things right away. That's where a lot of the confusion is and why it's truly being considered a groceries tax in a sense, because you may not actually consume these things as a meal right away now. You might end up buying it for later. I know I buy small quantities for myself and my daughter that's 4.5 years old. Yeah. I'm certainly not buying a whole box of mac and cheese if she's only going to eat that small serving. Well, now that small serving potentially could be taxed at
some point. Got it. Chris, hang on. I want to get deeper into this because I'm just fascinated with the process here. Well, my main thought here is that my head hurts trying to get this all figured out with this new CT food tax or the Connecticut tax here that's going to be raised or implemented on certain items here. State Rep. Chris Davis of Ellington is trying to sort this out for us. Chris, as far as the process is here, forgive me if I'm being cynical here, but you have the governor's office. You find folks in the legislature. You have DRS with the commissioner there, Scott Jackson. You have a myriad of people that have a hand in this. And yet when I read about the shouting match that's going on now, or at least the finger-pointing going on with all sides up there, Chris, can you explain to my listeners how this was not, with all the bright minds up there at the Capitol, how was this not figured out beforehand? Or let me be a cynic here, Chris. Was this in fact the original intent of this, and then when the budget estimates, the tax estimates came out higher, was there a scenario of we can't tax them this much? You see what I'm driving at here? A lot of folks are confused. How does this happen?
Well, I'm a bit confused too, because it's one of two things, Paul. It's either this was done in a sloppy manner, that they changed this language, they did it, even though there was debate. I just looked at the transcripts. I specifically asked it if it's at grocery stores. They said yes. I said, is it on food and beverages at these establishments? They said yes. It's on both food and beverage during the floor debate in the House of Representatives. So then the question becomes, was this truly their intention? And I am at a loss as to why the word grocery store would be added if this was not their true intention.
Yeah.
And with that said, our budget numbers actually reflect a limited scope. And that's why DRS is saying, no, you're going to end up collecting a lot more money. And even our Office of Fiscal Analysis, nonpartisan one, well, now with this interpretation of it, you are going to get a lot more money.
Yeah, because Chris, I've been at the Capitol a handful of times. I've covered it for 20 or 30 years. I know a lot of the people up there, and it boggles my mind that, let's say, the majority of Democrats, you know, as the way they push this thing, wouldn't somebody from leadership, Chris, or a lawyer, a staff lawyer representing leadership, wouldn't they get together with leadership or somebody from DRS and say, okay, let's make sure this is interpreted correctly? Because to me, Chris, and I might be completely wrong on this, you know better than I do, it sounds like they're trying to throw DRS under the bus here.
Well, that's who they're pointing at, right? And they're claiming DRS went overboard, went well beyond any intent that we actually had. But the issue is DRS didn't write this language. They didn't approve this language to be put into the budget. There's only three groups that had approval over this language in this budget, and it's the House Democrats, the Senate Democrats, and the governor's office. They all had to sign off on this language because they all came to a grand agreement to do this. So someone within that group explicitly added the words grocery store. And that's what we don't know, where it came from and why it was added at this point. Why did they need to feel the need to go even further than what it was being sold as? At least, you know, what they said publicly, oh, this is just a restaurant's tax. It's on eating establishments. It's just 1%. Well, somebody added that word grocery store, and there must have been a reason for it. And it's either they were sloppy and they didn't realize what they were doing, mm-hmm. or this was truly their full intention was to expand it onto groceries. Because remind your listeners that the Lamont administration at least had internal conversations and admitted to having these internal conversations about taxing groceries. So was this something that is a way to get to that? I honestly do not know, because it's there, it's part of the law, and unless we call ourselves into special session, which is what the Republican caucuses are asking for, to remove those two words, grocery store, this is what's going to be implemented in a few short days, whether DRS changes the regulations or not, because if they change their interpretation of the regulations, which is what the Democrats want them to do, which we think might be extra legal to do, even if they did that, they would have to go through the regs review process. Regulations review process with the legislature to change those review, and that would take, you know, potentially months for that.
Yeah, Chris, that's another thing. Listen, I'm no attorney. I don't play one on TV either, but I'm no attorney, and I'm saying here, well, wait a minute. How can a department here in Connecticut simply change a rule as to how they interpret something, just saying, okay, we're going to get in a room, everybody good, okay, let's order pizza? I mean, it doesn't work that way, does it?
Yeah, well, it certainly shouldn't. And it's actually a pretty dangerous thing if you think about it, if that is the case, because that means that the legislature can pass one thing where it's very explicit, and DRS putting out their memo said, we read the letter of the law, this is what this means now. And then to turn around because of political pressure, because the public is now upset, to then say, well, maybe we misinterpreted it, and now this regulation is maybe we can change it. That is a very dangerous thing, because that means that any regulation that may not fit into whatever that governor or that legislature that's in leadership feels like it should be the case now, even if it's been something that's been in case for years and years and years, like this case, 2002, they figured this out with the grocery stores. This isn't an eating establishment, a grocery store. This is not. That could change things. And you have this issue right now playing out with restaurants, with the Department of Labor, and how tip credits work with waiters and waitresses and how they're supposed to be applied. We passed legislation to change the statute to do it, and the governor vetoed it, claiming that, you know, we should allow it to be the way that it was before and have this misinterpretation of everything. So this is exactly where you can start getting into some dangerous territory about the power of the executive branch versus the legislative branch if you start allowing this kind of thing to happen just purely through a change in regulation without the legislature actually playing a role.
A couple of more minutes with State Rep. Chris Davis, Republican Ellington, trying to figure out what's going on here with this this grocery store tax, prepared food tax, restaurant tax. So, Chris, you're saying that when this bill was actually moved off the floor after you had all these committee hearings and it was, you know, signed by the Democrats, you know, the budget bill signed by the governor, you had assumed, and a bunch of folks here had assumed, is that what you're saying, that grocery store was not in the final language, or it was?
No, it was included in the final language. Yeah. Where there was some controversy about whether it was going to be included was in the actual committee process.
Got it.
When the revenue package was passed through the Finance and Revenue Bonding Committee, the tax committee, essentially, the actual wordage, the language, the statutory language, wasn't available. And they vote on basically just a chart of this is the revenue, this is the tax that would be increased, and it was listed as a prepared foods tax. And what was not known then was whether or not grocery stores was included. And then when we received the final budget document, a day before we actually voted on the budget, that's when, you know, it was included in that language. So when the House of Representatives voted on it, you know, it was in there. The Democrats that voted for this had the opportunity to see that it was in there. And to know that this language was still included. And ultimately they voted for it and they passed it, and now they're complaining that this isn't what they thought they were voting for, apparently. But it was, you know, again, they're the ones that drafted this. They're the ones that voted for it.
Now, Speaker Arasimowicz, with all due respect to him and other high-ranking Democrats, Chris, you know, you see what they're saying. They're saying, oh, how dare the Republicans blow this out of proportion. It's not a real big deal. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. They'll say, we'll just sit down, work it out, and fix it. Okay, what are your thoughts on that? You trust them?
Well, I would say that it is a big deal, given the response I'm getting from my constituents and from others around the state, how upset they are about this whole situation. And
Are people angry? Are you getting flooded with emails and calls to your office?
Yeah, they're certainly angry. They're upset that, you know, this is a death by a thousand cuts here in the state of Connecticut, that, you know, yet another tax coming on them, increasing on them. And just only a couple of weeks before it goes into effect, that people really understood the impact of this, given that DRS didn't put out their guidance until just a few days ago. You know, it's going to be troublesome for the grocery stores because they're going to be in a situation where, you know, what do we tax and what don't we tax? You know, why is the cutoff in the guidance at five donuts?
Five donuts. So Chris, if I buy six, Chris, is there going to be a boot on my car when I leave the station today?
Yeah. Well, it would be to make sure somebody might be watching you to make sure you don't eat all six in your car on your way out the door.
That's right, because then is that a meal or a snack? We're not sure.
Then you're getting into some dangerous territory, Paul. But that's how arbitrary and nonsensical this whole thing has become. And quite frankly, either the Democrats did it and didn't realize what they were doing, which is also very dangerous, mm-hmm. or they knew exactly what they were doing and were able to kind of get this through until finally people realize, oh no, this has to be implemented in a few days, and how are we going to implement it? Mm-hmm. And either way is not good for the state of Connecticut, not good for the taxpayers, and needs to be changed, and that's why we've asked for the special session to reverse this language.
All right, we'll see if it happens. State Rep. Chris Davis, Republican, Ellington. Chris, thanks so much. We appreciate the time. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. There you go, folks. Well, and that's what I was saying. This is either blatantly sloppy. And you hear what Chris just said. When they finally vote on this stuff, I guess not all of it is in print. Who does that? Do you buy a house? Do you sign a mortgage? Do you go and sit there for half an hour? Okay, sign here. And your attorney says, okay, I looked this over here. We made this change here. Sign here. If you're buying a house or a mortgage, or you're buying a car with a bill of sale on a car and the certain options of the car, would you sign something that doesn't have every specific thing on it? Buying a piece of land or buying a car or buying a house or an office building or something like that, or a lease, well, then why do we do legislation like this in Connecticut? I don't get it. I don't. In a state that has such incredibly bright people in most parts of it, mind-boggling.
Just a guy who hates driving on the merit, just like you. Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli, WICC 600.
Seriously, if you have a real liberal friend and you're a 2020 MAGA hat wearing guy, go to their house starting next month on October 1st while they're out of the room. If they have an Alexa, tell the Alexa. Now, there's going to be a limit here. I found the story. Starting next month, this is the CNN version here. Starting next month, customers will be able to donate up to $200 to U.S. presidential campaigns through Amazon's Alexa. Amazon announced a new elections feature Wednesday. Yesterday said candidates can start signing up Thursday to receive campaign contributions through its voice-controlled assistant. With Alexa political contributions, you can donate to participating presidential campaigns by simply saying, here it is, quote, where's the drum roll? We need the drum roll for this one. Aaron, give me the, there it is. People all around the state now are getting closer to their radios. Right? Turn up the wireless, Maud. I can't hear. Alexa, I want to make a political contribution, or Alexa, donate insert amount here to candidate's name here. The minimum donation using Alexa will be $5. The maximum $200 per campaign. Man, you can bankrupt a lot of people on $200. It's per campaign, though. You can only do it once.
Alexa, yeah, this has no way of going horribly, horribly wrong. Like, there's no chance of that happening.
This is going to be fraught with, you know what's going to happen? You want to talk about Russian hacking? They're probably salivating at this. Whose idea was this? Whose idea? Hello, Alexa? My name is, This is Richie in Connecticut. You know, real name Sergey, you know, in St. Petersburg. I want to donate $100 to Trump 2020. Honey, when did you donate to President Trump?
I didn't, Maud.
What is that? Alexa political contributions is powered by Amazon Pay, according to the company, and will use the default payment information associated with the accounts to complete the campaign donations. This has all kinds of problems written all over it. The company touted the information provided through Alexa to customers during the midterm elections last fall, including questions on when do the polls open and who was winning certain races. Why are they doing this? Well, we know why they're doing this. We know why they're doing this, number one, because people will do it. Why does this happen? Because people will do it. Why? Because people are really freaking lazy. Now, I understand Alexa's fine for people who have certain medical limitations. That's great. I'm not talking about those people. I'm not talking about those people. Seriously, that's fine. If I know some people use Alexa who have limited mobility, who make use of who may be a quadriplegic or paraplegic, make use sometimes of a wheelchair. I understand that. Can't order stuff. You do it on the voice. You have a credit card on file. That's fine, or a debit card. But you people, you want to make it, if you're physically able to, get off of your arse, log on to your account, log on to Kamala's account, or log on to Elizabeth Warren or President Trump or whatever, and do it yourself. Don't make your freaking smart speaker do it for you. What are you kidding me? God. Amazon said the new features will be added to, and more new features will be added to Alexa over the course of the next year, and, quote, will learn a lot about the types of questions and informations you want Alexa to be able to share, and release features that address those requests. Alexa, why am I a lazy arse? Well, folks, there you go. Starting October 1, I guess. Yeah, when's this? It's going to start soon. You can donate between $5 and $200 to individual presidential campaigns. Yeah, there's no capacity for this to go wrong. None whatsoever. So seriously, have some fun. I'm giving you the idea right now. Don't do it because I told you to. But you know what? If you want to pull a fast one on your college buddy, like, don't do this if it's going to break up a marriage, right? Don't if
oh, now you tell them. Now you let them know that.
Well, if there's a spouse or kids involved, don't do this. If you're going to be throwing a Molotov cocktail into somebody's personal life, don't do this. I'm begging you, don't do this. But if you're like a just out of college goof, you know, and your buddy said, dude, I just gave $50 to Beto, and I just did it with my Alexa. And you're like, oh, man, that's cool. Wait till he leaves the room. You know, hey, can you go fix us some pizza? Yeah, I'll be right back. I'll do that. Then when he's out of the room, just go, Alexa, yes, donate $200 to Trump 2020. And don't tell him. Okay. Just for Haas. And when he finds it on his, if he finds it on his debit card, just say, listen, I didn't mean to do it. I was just testing it. That's all. Oh, man. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. I'm sure Amazon and Google, I'm sure they're going to do nothing with this info. See, this is the kind of thing, no, honestly, to be strictly serious about this. This is the kind of thing that drives me crazy, where people will go crazy about, oh, you can't trust the government for this, and you can't trust for that, and I can't believe they're going to use drones, this and the other. Okay, I can understand you being that little squeamish about that. I get it. But then you're going to donate to a political candidate over a smart speaker? Why? I would never do that. Never. You're out of your mind. You're crazy. You're nuts if you do that. All right, but we'll watch it over the next year, year and a half. I guess Amazon's not going to take a cut on this, I would think. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Would you ever do this? Do you have an Alexa in your house, by the way? I have one, but I can't get it to work right. I'm trying to download the patch to this and all that. But do you have an Alexa? Do you have one of these smart speakers? Do you keep it on all the time? That's not good, especially if you have the speaker in the bedroom. I'm just saying, don't trust me. Read what all the techies are saying. I'm just, it's, unless you have that microphone muted, it's listening all the time. It's listening all the time. That's why there'll never be an Alexa in the studio here at Connecticut Today. Trust me. Aaron and I have to conduct conversations like, what did Corey Lewandowski say in D.C. the other day? Privileged conversations between me and the president. Sorry, Congressman, he got that Massachusetts thing going, Congressman, but I invoke my right not to divulge private and privileged conversations between myself and the president. There you go. So when we move into our new digs, hopefully there will be a fridge and a microwave, but no Alexa. You can trust me on that. 3:46, traffic and weather together on the 6 is right here. I'm going to go on somebody's Alexa. The boss has one in his. Oh, Danny have one down there? Oh, good. I'm going to go in his office and make a donation, see if he finds it. Traffic and weather together on the 6 is here on WICC.